time to talk Boston sports. To do that, we get on board the G&M Family Market phone line and welcome in our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Hey, Nick.
Hi, Rich. What's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Just, getting to talk to you. It's, I'm not going to lie, the highlight of my day.
Oh, that's, well, you know what? Right back at you, Rich. It's been a while.
It has indeed.
Looking forward to getting on the phone line with you.
We know you're a busy guy, doing it all, juggling the world of sports.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on, especially around these parts. I'll tell you, it makes it fun. That's for sure. It makes it fun. It's like no days off. And I know that's Bill Belichick's mantra, but it applies to all the sports in this area because it's just, man, what a year so far.
Yeah, well, let's start with the big story for tonight, and that is the Boston Celtics. If anybody had said to you back even a month or so ago that the Celtics would go deeper in the playoffs than the Bruins, would you have believed them?
Well, you know what? Thinking about it and thinking about where you thought the Celtics could go, maybe, but I sort of thought that both teams, I thought the Bruins could make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe even get to the Stanley Cup Finals, just with the talent and the way that they turned it on the middle of the season. You thought the Bruins, you know, basically would go farther than the Celtics. But by the Bruins running into such a great team like Tampa, and the Celtics, when you looked at their road and you said, well, they could beat the Bucks, they did. They could take it to the Sixers, they have. And they could get to the Eastern Conference Final. It's like, well, if you think about it, and maybe the matchups and how it's kind of gone, then maybe you could have seen this. But really, the way that things have gone down, I don't think anybody expects the Celtics to, you know, not only knock off the Bucks, here they are, 3-0 up on Philadelphia like this. Especially how hot the Sixers have been. Like, that is just the way they've played and how brilliant Brad Stevens has been. It's amazing to see how well they've overcome everything they've had to this season.
Yeah, and I feel it's almost like a twofer because they're doing so well this year while you're sitting back thinking, boy, imagine next year with a healthy Gordon Hayward, a healthy Kyrie Irving, and all this playoff experience for young guys like Tatum and Brown.
It's awesome. It really sets you up for what potentially next year could be, you know, the beast of the East, the team that goes to the finals. You keep everybody healthy, you get those two stars back, and then whatever else you want to add to the team, you can try to do that too. But really, what you'll add is those two guys plus some playoff experienced and seasoned guys that are still young and coming up into their prime, and Tatum and Brown. And you know, with Brad saying, you know, they're already in Boston. They're already talking about, yeah, well, if you trade one of the Brown and Tatum, you could get Kawhi Leonard. And it's like, no, I'm not doing any of that. I love the way these kids are playing, and they're almost like, and I don't think of basketball anymore as a 1-2-3-4-5 positions like lineups. I don't think that's how Brad Stevens looks at it either. You get the best talent you can, and you put the best five on the floor. And you know, I think next year, even if it's a small lineup, if you've got Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown, if that's your starting five, oh boy, that is some talent, man. And if you got to go up against the big, you put Aaron Baines in there. It's like the possibilities are endless, but yeah, it makes the prospects of next season exciting for sure.
Now, obviously, championships are the coin of the realm, and he has none, while Bill Belichick's got five. But is it possible that Brad Stevens is closing in on Belichick as the most popular coach in Boston?
Oh, big time. Especially, I think his popularity continues to grow, and I think Bill Belichick's has taken a bit of a hit here with the off-season drama and with the where in the world is Malcolm Butler that he played in Super Bowl 52. So, yeah, for sure. And Celtics fans, boy, they are passionate about their team, and they really, to them, Brad Stevens can do not much wrong, if any. He's a brilliant young mind. He knows the game so well. He sees it so well. And yeah, Celtics fans are rabid about that guy. And I think they have been since day one. And as the team continues to progress, yeah, it gets better and better for him.
Hey, we talked about the Bruins. You still have to say this was a very good year for another young, talented team that ran into a buzzsaw in Tampa Bay.
Absolutely. And you look at the team, you see where some of the flaws are, and you didn't expect them to become a cup contender like they did. You thought maybe they'd go into the postseason, maybe win a round, something along those lines. But, you know, midway through this season, this team hit a stride, and especially with all the youth on the team and guys still coming up, we're seeing some of the talent that's coming up through Providence, too. I mean, it's fantastic to see that the organization has really injected this group with some youth while also keeping the core together. You know, that top line with Bergeron and Marchand is your future at the forward group. And contractually, too, those guys, they're signed up for a while, along with Pastrnak, who you got a deal done with before the season started. So that top line is there. Now you want your youth to continue to grow, especially in the forward group. I think Jake DeBrusk is going to continue to grow into being a great forward. Next year, Ryan Donato is going to have a full season under his belt going into the postseason. And then defensively, that's maybe where you add some things. You know, Charlie McAvoy is your future there, but maybe if you can get another, you know, top four defenseman in there, maybe somebody to pair with McAvoy as a, you know, as a top two, then that limits some minutes for Chara. Maybe he's more of a strength for you. The possibilities are endless there, and it's great because you're young at a lot of different positions, so it's exciting.
Now, can Bruce Cassidy please sit down with Marchand in the offseason and say, for God's sake, stop licking people?
Yeah, I think he has. And hey, you know what? With Marchand, I don't have as much of a problem as the rest of the country does. For some reason, they're blowing it up into some big thing. He's not you know, knocking people out. You just give him a little, you know, little lick, little kiss. You know, he's just he finds a way to get under people's skin, and that's Marchand. And hey, he hasn't been suspended for it or fined or anything like that. They're telling him not to do it anymore, so let's find a new way. But as long as he's on the ice, you know, play your game, man. And if he can score some goals too, that's what you want him to do. So he's an enjoyable player, and anybody that watches him over a full season knows how talented he is too. So major asset to your team, and he'll find a different way for sure. He will.
Is Tuukka the guy for them going forward?
That's a good question. I think the organization sees Tuukka as the guy. I think they think that they can win with him. You know, fans have been up in arms, and he gives up. Yeah, I think he's been getting overanalyzed, I think, goal by goal. If you have a strong, I've always said with Tuukka, I don't think he's going to steal you games like Tim Thomas did in 2011. But if you've got a strong defensive core in front of him, I think he can help you win games. I do. And I think part of the reason that Tuukka would give up some of the goals that he did, especially in that Toronto series, there was a couple of goals where people were like, ah, that's soft, Tuukka. And it's like, well, if the Bruins can learn not to turn the puck over so much in their own zone, then it's going to help Tuukka Rask. You know, sometimes it's like if you keep turning the puck over in front of him, he can only stop so much. So, you know, I'm not as up in arms about Tuukka as some other folks are, but yeah, I think they view him as the guy going forward. They've obviously committed the money to him. So I think, you know, for the people that don't like Tuukka, you're probably stuck with him for a little while. But upgrade the defensive core, and I think that's going to help his stock rise too.
We're talking with Nick Coit, ABC6 in Providence. Well, Nick, I know you're a baseball guy. You got to be loving the way this season is going for the Red Sox so far in every aspect of the game. What a great ride it's been.
Yeah, it really has. And I think there's improving to be done with the Red Sox too, even though they are where they're at, you know, best record in baseball. And what's really fun is, one, yeah, there can be improvements made and they can get better and better. And two, the fact that we're going into a series here early May, and you've already got some heat between the two teams, and the Sox come in with the best record, the Yankees with the second best record. Yankees are red hot. Like Sox, Yankees, two best right now. That's fun, man. When Sox and Yankees, and it's just with the fights in the first series, and it's like, man, it's just some juice to it. When there's juice to it, people are going to pay attention, and that's really, really fun. And so far, it's been great. I think Alex Cora has been pretty good so far. Obviously, he's gotten the players to respond. There's more of a bond. There's more of a, you know, an edge to the team. It's fun, and again, they'll get better and better. I know the Portland Sea Dogs are going to get Tyler Forsberg coming up for some rehab, which he was in Pawtucket with the Paw Sox this past week and looked pretty darn good. You know, that first outing he had, he struck out the side. The breaking ball was, it was breaking. So you know, they're going to get better. But I love that there's some juice to the Red Sox and Yankee driver. That's really fun. It really is.
The only downside, I think, early on here has been the struggles of David Price. Today, the word came out that he's been dealing with a circulation issue that he's had since he was a little kid. If it's not one thing, it's another with Price, though. There's not a lot of patience left, I think, among Red Sox fans for Price.
After that last outing, I said that Dennis Eckersley better fly commercial for a while. Cause he's, you know, we don't want him anywhere near David Price right now. Yeah, he's... It's been an interesting journey with that guy. You were hoping that he would have a good season, especially after the way things ended last year, him coming out of the bullpen and being, he was pretty good. You know, September and October, he was pretty good coming out of the bullpen for you. And, you know, all of a sudden, here we go again with Price and a little bit of the drama. And it'll be an interesting test here, I think, too, for Alex Cora to see if he can help turn things around with Price and help sort of neutralize things and keep him steady in the clubhouse too, because obviously, you know, I joke about the Eckersley situation, but you know, with what happened with that last year, that was a huge detriment to the team, and it really sort of hovered over the team for the rest of the season. So hopefully Cora and his staff can try to get Price back on track and, you know, help him get healthy and help him be the pitcher that, you know, we've seen in the past, and we know he can be. He can be that dominant guy. It's just, yeah, you're right. It's like one thing after another sometimes with Price, and Red Sox fans roll their eyes because, you know, it's just, it is what it is. You're paying him all that money, and, you know, obviously things aren't circulating the way you want them to with Price.
We're seeing historic numbers in the early going from Mookie Betts. He's having a fabulous year. But I'm also so much enjoying watching J.D. Martinez and what he brings to the plate. You talk about a guy who's just a pure hitter who finds a way to make great contact in almost every situation. He's fantastic.
Rich, you know what? One of the first things I noticed about J.D. Martinez that I was in awe of is, and it's a sign of a great, especially a right-handed hitter, is the fact that one of the first home runs he hit, it was like an inside fastball, and they showed the replay, and the way he gets his hands inside of a fastball like that, that's a tough thing to do. And as a guy that's able to do that and hit the ball out of the ballpark, I mean, man, oh man, he doesn't get jammed very often. That's what's crazy. He can cover a lot of the plate, and not only is he hitting home runs for you, he's hitting for average, and that's a huge presence in the middle of your order. It's something that the Sox were missing. They waited. They got a good deal, I think, with Martinez. Dombrowski didn't just throw money at him, and just it was a good deal. And so far, it really has paid off for you. So I agree with you. Yeah, Martinez has been great, and you mentioned Mookie Betts too. And I think the concern now with Betts is, you know, the Sox going to talk to this kid and say, hey, we want you here, and try to sign him up too. You want that kid here for the long term because he's a superstar, man. He is a superstar, and try to sign him up to a long-term deal before, you know, he hits the free agent market and you know, Bryce Harper and Mike Trout are getting crazy, ridiculous money, because it's going to happen. So try to sign him up because you want him here.
No question about that. Going to be a fun week with Sox and Yankees getting underway tomorrow night. Before we let you go, Nick, a very cool thing happened in your family late last week. Can you tell that story a little bit?
Yeah, and thank you for bringing it up. It was awesome. So my sister just graduated from nursing school from the Massachusetts College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences in Boston, MCPHS, for, I'd say for short, but that's a long title for a school. As part of the nursing school, and, you know, before they have the actual graduation, the diplomas, they give, you know, these nursing students that are graduating a pin. It's sort of a ceremonial thing with when you graduate nursing school from any nursing school around. And what was really great was the school allowed, you know, these students to have a sponsor, somebody, if they wanted to present them with a pin other than a faculty member. And my sister chose my grandmother, who is a 1954 graduate of the Faulkner Hospital School of Nursing, which is now Brigham and Women's in Boston. And she was able to present my sister with her pin graduating from nursing school. And just a very emotional moment for my family, because it's something that my grandmother's been talking about for years and had such pride in the profession. And now that my sister is going to be going into the profession and it was sort of a ceremonial passing of the torch, but a very emotional moment for my family too. So, yeah, really special, really thankful to the school, and you know, happy for not only my grandmother, but my sister too.
Yeah, that was great. Nick Coit, ABC 6 in Providence. Always a pleasure for us to talk with you, my friend. It's been too long. Well, let's do it again before we let the summer get too far along.
Would love to. Anytime, Rich. Always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks, Nick. We'll talk with you soon.
Thanks, Rich.
That's Nick Coit with us here on Downtown.